of you know very much about Paul? I don't know. Some of you know a little about him. Some of you may know a lot. I've been having a look at him again, and I've been quite enjoying getting to know him again. So I hope you will a little bit this morning. Paul is the one who started off persecuting Christians. He travelled around wanting to get them stoned to death. And then he had that dramatic conversion. And after that, he started travelling around telling people about Jesus and setting up new churches. And after he'd set up new churches, he wrote to them. And he wrote lots of letters. And most of the books that Paul wrote, most of the letters that Paul wrote, are the letters in the New Testament. He wrote a lot. Can you see it here? The wonder back then, will anybody read all those letters? There were lots, and there are lots, and there's there for us to enjoy. On his travels, Paul has a dream. It was the one Margaret read to us. Remember what it was? It was the dream of a man from across the water in Macedonia saying, come and help us. The Macedonian call, as it's called sometimes. Somebody saying to Paul, come over and help us. And so straightway, he and his companions, Silas and Timothy, set off. Set off, they thought, for Macedonia. But they stopped off at Philippi. And at Philippi, they didn't meet a man like they thought they were going to Macedonia to meet. They met a woman at Philippi. And she wasn't even from Philippi. She was from another area called Thyatira. And Paul, when he was there, looked for the synagogue. He looked for the place of prayer because he was a Christian Jew and a Roman citizen. That was one of the reasons why he could travel around so much. Anyway, there was no synagogue, maybe because there wasn't enough Jews in that city, enough Jewish men to form a synagogue. So he went down to the river to see if there's a place of prayer. Have you ever wondered why he went down to the river? It seems a sort of odd thing, doesn't it? I don't really think I'd noticed it that much before. But he goes down to see if there is a Jewish house of prayer. It's called something like a prosuche, something like that. I'm not sure of the pronunciation. And when there's not enough men to form a synagogue, they can form a house of prayer. And has it twigged with you yet why it was always by the water? Because they needed water for ritual washing. So Paul knew where to go to look to see if there was a place where Jewish people were meeting for prayer. And there was. And he meets there Lydia. What do you know about Lydia? Anybody remember anything about Lydia at all? Lydia was a businesswoman in her own right. Come on, ladies, way back then, in her own right. Yes, you're right. She was. And do you know, David's saying she was a cloth seller. Can you remember what sort of cloth? Purple, that's right. A seller of purple cloth. There she is. She looks very beautiful in that. There's lots of pictures, supposed pictures of Lydia online, really because she's one of the first, one of the early women active in the church. And she's quite important and has been a figurehead in some ways for when we were fighting for women's, or striving, I should say, for women's ministry in the church. And... But you know, this is a very beautiful and modern picture of Lydia. But she probably looked a lot more like this picture, which is a picture of a woman from that area. Now, isn't she beautiful and strong and got a lot of life experience in her? She looks much more like the women of that area. Paul started talking to Lydia about the gospel, about Jesus, about that which she hadn't heard before. And maybe you'll recognize this because it says her heart was stirred within her. Her heart was warmed, was stirred. They say different translations put it slightly differently. And straightway, she responds. Straightway in the scriptures, as soon as she hears about Jesus and her heart goes, yeah, I want that. She says to Paul, I'm in. I want to be a Christian. And she gets baptized straight away. I don't know what it really was exactly that caused Lydia to open her heart to God in the gospel of Jesus. I don't know what it was that caused you to open your heart to God, because it's a personal thing, isn't it? And we might say, oh, it happens this way or that way, but in truth, the response in our hearts is very personal, isn't it? And I believe God shows his love to us in very personal and individual ways, in the ways that we need it, for the person that we are, because he values us and he loves us. The next thing that happened to Lydia, not only had she said to Paul, right, I'm in on this Christian business, but she started in ministry straight away. There was none of this modesty. Oh, I've only been a Christian for a while. I can't join in anything. I daren't get going. I don't know very much. I can't. No, she just there and then. First thing she says, I've become a Christian. You need somewhere to stay overnight. You need a meal. I've got a house. I can feed you. Come to mine. One bang, one woman got going in the work of the church. And as far as we can work out, she never looked back. And we think she probably became a really strong part of the church there that was developed in Philippi. But the great thing that Lydia grasped so quickly was that Christianity is a team experience. It's about mutuality. It's a team effort. We can't do it without being linked up. It's just not possible. And it can start with something as simple as, come back to my place. As simple as that. Now, all this will have been a big surprise for Paul. Because remember, Paul had set off to go to Macedonia to find a man. And what had happened? He ended up at Philippi and found a woman. And seemed to be blessed by God. One of the other interesting things about Lydia is that she isn't actually from Philippi. She was a stranger there herself. She was from a place called Thyatira. And already there you've got her ministering in another way. One stranger welcoming another stranger, using what she's got, what she knows, what she has, and reaching out straight away. After being at Lydia's, Paul goes back to the prayer house, and on the way he meets a deeply disturbed young woman, and he prays with her and ends up before the magistrates for causing a ruckus, a breach of the peace he and Silas and Timothy were up in front of the magistrates for. Gosh, he certainly had an up and down life, Paul, didn't he? And they were thrown into jail and beaten. During the night, They had such a miraculous escape that from prison that the jailer and his family, all of them convert and get baptized. It's quite a story, this little bit, isn't it, with what's going on? And guess what happens there? Yep, they stay at theirs overnight. Come and stay with us. Another family reaching out. And the jailer's wife cares for Silas's wounds. In the morning, they go back to the magistrates and they're glad to see them go. Go, says the magistrates. Just go. So what next for Lydia? Paul goes back to Lydia's for a little while, tries to strengthen and help her and her household in the things of Christianity. But you know, not only was it possible back then for women to be in business, but in the very early years of the church, women were very, very active. They were vital and strong members and strong leaders in the very early church. And it looks as though Lydia played her role in that. You know, we've seen two people and families who immediately come into faith have grasped the idea that it's all about joining in. It's a group experience. It's a way of life that God has given us about relating to others. It's not about me in my box on my own. It's a community thing, Christianity, and so is Christian service. It's funny how, isn't it, that over about 2,000 years, we've often come to see the ministry or the work of the church as something for others. A bit like these. Vicars who create fun. Recognise who that is? Yeah? Good bit of fun that Robin creates for us. Vicars who respond to fun. Isn't that gorgeous? I love that man. It's Rowan Williams, our previous Archbishop of Canterbury. I love it. I was saying this to the house group. I love it that he's so comfy in himself that he resists all attempts to trim those eyebrows. And I just love that. He's okay with who he is. Or what about vicars who break new ground? There you are. Perhaps one of the early ones. I don't think I ever did that, did you, Sue? I'll preach about Eve and Adam. Maybe not. Or leaders who carry too much, just far too much, because the community don't get that it's a shared thing. I've just for fun said we often leave it to the clergy, but we do often leave the work of the church to the leaders, don't we? But ministry is for all of us, no one or two of us doing too much, doing what is ours to do, but not pressured. My daughter said to me a little while ago, she doesn't go to church at the moment, and she's a working mum in a very highly pressured job with two children and two stepchildren going through exams, and it's a difficult time, you know, there's a lot happening. And she said to me, I can't go to church at the moment, Mum. They'll want me to do something, and it'll just be something else that I feel I'm not doing very well. And it really made me think, you know, yes, it is about belonging. It is about joining in. But it's not about pressuring one another. It's about there being space for one another to step up when you're ready to and when it's the right time to. In Jesus Christ, You and I belong. You and I have worth, a place and a role where you and I fit, and a right time when we will do things. Lydia and Paul, two very different people, both part of the church's ministry, telling others, caring for others, growing themselves all the time. No one should be left out in the Christian church. The love of God in Jesus Christ is for all of us. And if you're not sure how to be joined in, just ask one of us. May God bless us and help us all. Amen.